You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, the Ministry of Social Development changed its eligibility for those trying to access emergency housing. On top of having a tougher eligibility, the policy also means that those caught breaking the rules of their emergency housing needs will have a stand-down period of 13 weeks for a housing grant. Kickback, a youth development organisation, has condemned the government's move and is calling for the government to reassess the criteria due to how the new criteria will significantly displace young people requiring access to emergency housing. I spoke to youth worker and co-founder of the organisation, Aaron Hendry, about the shift of eligibility and what this will mean for vulnerable young people. The government has announced stricter conditions for those staying in emergency accommodation, with the Ministry of Social Development last week announcing tougher eligibility for those needing housing and a stand-down period of 13 weeks for those on the housing grant if someone breaks the conditions of their emergency accommodation. What will this mean for young people in vulnerable circumstances, especially considering that half of the 4,300 people in these types of accommodation are children?
You know, our concern is that in practice this looks like young people being turned away from support and ending up in really dangerous situations. Some of them out on our streets, living rough out in the cold. Others in situations where they're being exploited and abused, and they're in harm's way because they're not getting the support that they need.
What barriers are already preventing young people from accessing emergency housing?
Look, one of the challenges is that when a young person reaches out for support from MSD, for emergency accommodation, one, they're not always believed. You know, often young people tell us they've been told, look, you're responsible for your own homelessness, or you haven't looked hard enough to get housing, you need to go and sort this out yourself. Or they're just told that there is no housing available and we can't support you, and they're turned away. Already there's a barrier around fear for reaching out for support and going to MSD. You know, many young people tell us that they feel like they are dehumanised, that they are not treated well. And they're fearful of even asking for that support. So when they do ask for support and then get turned away, it creates another barrier to seeking support into the future.
The government has an aim to move away from the use of motels as emergency housing options. Does Kickback believe the government is planning adequate alternatives to this move?
We've heard a lot of conversation around we need to move away from motels, and we 100% agree with that. You know, the government is right. It's been more than a policy failure utilising emergency housing for really vulnerable people. It's been a moral failure. It has seen a huge breach in our young people's human rights, and it has led to untold harm to some of our most vulnerable young people. But we cannot just say, look, we're moving away without having an appropriate plan in place. And right now, there is no strong planning around where those young people go when they do reach out for support. And so there's limited resources for them. And so we need to be building new models that can be there to provide support for young people when they are in crisis and they need emergency housing on Friday night or Saturday morning or whenever it is. Currently, those services don't really exist. Kickback's been working to develop some of those models. You know, one of our services, The Front Door, is an attempt to begin building a project which will be 24/7 wraparound support for young people in immediate need. Another service that we're working with Massey Community Trust on is called the Safety Net Project, which is a host home model that enables young people to provide safe accommodation in whānau homes rather than emergency accommodation. So there are some community innovations that we can be looking at addressing. But right now, from the government, we haven't really seen a movement to looking at, okay, what does it look like when a child or a young person is alone and they're at risk and they need somewhere to stay tonight? Where will they go? We don't have those models really in place from a government strategy perspective.
Is the government tackling the root cause of why so many young people are in emergency accommodation, such as by addressing the mental health crisis and/or unemployment?
I think one of the things that Kickback really wants to highlight is that a lot of the conversations we are having at the moment around young people in the public domain are connected. You talk about youth mental health, you talk about truancy, you talk about youth crime, all of these things. Often, you know, at the root of it, you've got young people experiencing homelessness and having housing insecurity and dealing with poverty. So this is the reality of what's going on. We need to start really addressing that. We need to ensure that there is a plan to care for our most vulnerable rangatahi and tamariki, and that we have the services and supports enabled to care for them. What we're really concerned about now is that these tougher approaches is going to see young people reaching out for support, not gaining that support, being blamed in some cases for the harm that they've experienced. And then when they reach out and say, look, you are the reason why you're experiencing homelessness, they're cast back out on the street. When the reality is, actually, they've run away from an unsafe environment. They've experienced trauma. They're mentally unwell. They need care and support, and they're not receiving it. And so, look, we're concerned that these policies are going to cause more harm than they are going
to
help.
What could the government do better to provide for youth who are having to stay in emergency accommodation?
Well, first, I think we really need to have a strategy that is directed at ensuring that young people are prevented from experiencing homelessness, and then when they do, they get the support that they need. So if a young person is needing to access immediate housing support because, look, maybe home's unsafe, maybe they've run away, maybe, you know, they've been experienced abuse or harm, or they're mentally unwell and they just don't have the support they need at home, then they should be able to access somewhere that is safe, that is supported, where they've got people around them, a community that can care for them and look after them. And they need to be able to access that 24/7 whenever they need it, because homelessness doesn't sleep. It could be 3 a.m. when a young person is at risk, and they need to be able to reach out and access care and support. And that needs to be holistic. It needs to ensure that those young people have, you know, access to mental health support, that they have access to, you know, physical health care, that they actually get the support they need to begin planning an alternative housing option and, you know, build the community around them so that they are able to be safe and cared for. Often it's healing work, you know, a lot of these young people have been traumatized and harmed, and that's why they are needing the support in the first place. So we need to do a much better job actually adequately caring for them. I think in the first case, we also need to understand more around youth homelessness so there is less discrimination for young people when they do reach out to MSD for support. Right now, there is a lack of understanding around what young people are going through, and when they present seeking support, it's a real, you know, hit and miss whether they're going to get that, because not everyone understands what's going on, and so sometimes they're discriminated against and turned away.
And what are the risks of young people who may be forced out of their emergency accommodation from this policy? What are the risks for them if they're being forced to sleep rough?
Look, our young people tell us over and over again that when they're experiencing homelessness, one of the biggest impacts is their mental health, suicidal ideation, depression, anxiety. Their sense of self-worth and belonging is hugely impacted. And many of those who've had these experiences are still dealing with the trauma 5-10 years after that initial experience of sleeping rough and homelessness, just because of that experience. But when a young person, you know, and think about a 16-year-old that you know of, or a 17-year-old, someone that you care about, when a young person is sleeping on the street, in Queen Street or, you know, in the graveyard up on Gay Road, they are vulnerable. They are open to exploitation and abuse, and often in situations where they're having to do impossible things just to survive and just to live day by day. And so we are creating a system, or we have created a system, where we are opening some of our most vulnerable young people up to severe and very serious harm and abuse. It's a serious issue, and it's not one that we are adequately dealing with or responding to meet the crisis that it is. Okay, I would just encourage everyone to, I guess, come back to what we as a country say we believe in. I think we all want to have safe, secure spaces for our young people. We all want our rangatahi, our tamariki, to thrive and to do well and to be looked after and to be loved. We need to start recognising that all of these big issues we're talking about are connected. And when we're talking about those young people we're funneling into the justice system, there's a percentage of those that are in emergency accommodation right now and will be on the street tomorrow. And that's the trajectory, that's the journey. We need to have a far more holistic conversation around how we care for our young people and get serious about ensuring that their basic human rights are actually provided for and put at the centre of all the decisions we make. And that's not happening right now.
That was youth worker and co-founder of Kickback, Aaron Hendry, on the Ministry of Social Development's shift of eligibility for those needing to access emergency housing and what this will mean for vulnerable people.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.